Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Game Show PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us. Today, it is the 20th of July, Game 6 of the NBA Finals are happening tonight. A lot of things to unpack today, a lot of things to unload. I'm going to tell you why I think, in one hand, this series is over, and on the other hand, why it's going to go seven. I am going to contradict my own argument, and then when I'm done contradicting it, I'm going to re-contradict, I don't even know if that's a word, my own argument. So we'll break that down. Ton of sound before the game is played tonight. So I've stayed away for the most part from this Aaron Rodgers talk just because I figured everywhere else has saturated it so much, you need to hear it from me. But I'm going to go ahead and get into this a little bit today and proceed to get into it more as the season draws closer. So, a little bit. I'm not going to dedicate an hour and a half to it. Not going to dedicate, 35, 40 minutes to it. But I do want to skim the surface because there are some things that are coming out that makes you just see more and more how divorces work. So we'll get into that as well. And we'll do all that right here on the Cave Show. With PLR, this is PLR, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located locally in Chandler, 4991 South Alma School. Get down there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also become a member, get you access to the members' lounge. Locker that backs up to a humidor, access to a refrigerator, microwave, all that stuff. They do have a ton of TVs, a lot of comfortable places to sit. But make sure you definitely check that out. Now, if you do not wish to become a club member, it's still the club for you. Still a lot of places to sit and relax. Tons of TVs to watch. They do serve beer and wine. So you can definitely have your adult beverage while you enjoy a stick from their great selection. Now, if you do not wish or cannot make it down there, there's no worries. Just go online to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. If you order your stick early enough, it will ship the exact same day. All this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And like I said, let me know PLR sent you, 10% off of your cigar purchase. So I have a huge contradiction of myself. And every now and then you got to argue with yourself. A lot of people back in the old days would say, if you argue with yourself, that's a sign. Be a sign you're a little bit off. Just a wee bit off. I look at it differently. When you argue with yourself, you give yourself your pros and your cons. And then that way, you've already vetted out your argument. But today, I'm a little different with that too. Because I've argued both points against myself. I'm going to tell you why the Phoenix Suns are going to win tonight. And then I'm going to tell you why the Phoenix Suns will not win tonight. And I just turned my own head. Yes. I am going to give both sides to this argument. The first argument as to why they're not going to win tonight is because the company man is towing the line tonight for the NBA. And no, I don't mean it in a bad way. And I'm not going to get into all of this nonsense about games and officials that are dirty or could be all that, because they're not. But I do believe that once Scott Foster was sent to crew chief this game, it basically signaled the end for the Suns. Scott Foster doesn't work for Milwaukee. He doesn't work for the Bucks. Hell, I don't even think he lives in Milwaukee. But I do believe him showing up automatically gives Milwaukee an advantage. And I don't know if the NBA went back to him to prove that they're not buying that, that they're going to prove to you that they're going to send the ref that's in line for this game, no matter what anyone thinks. But it's clear that Scott Foster and Chris Paul have issues. Chris Paul will never refer to a ref because, one, he doesn't want to lose any money. So he speaks in general. But it doesn't take a genius all day to recognize that there's sunshine. And when you look at this game, it's slapping you in the face. Chris Paul is 0-12 in games that Scott Foster's wrapped. 0-12 in playoff games that Scott Foster has wrapped. And you could throw it as an anomaly. You could do the, ooh, wow, what a coincidence. I'm not. See, I don't believe that refs intentionally throw games outside of Donnie. I don't. But what I do believe are refs are human. And refs have likes and dislikes. Refs have styles. Certain people flow with that style more. Some refs are just very vanilla. But I believe the way Scott Foster refs games, his human side shows more. And there are things that he wants to make sure there's no nonsense. Everyone's going to know he's in charge. Everyone's got to know that they have to adjust to him. And that's nothing different. Every player knows they have to adjust to the way the game is called. But I do believe there are refs that give road teams equal calls. Because to say they're not human and they don't get caught up means they're robots. And I don't believe they're robots. I think the team that punches first and punches harder and punches more consistent, they get the benefit of the doubt. And I don't think I'm renewing science here. It's obvious. If you go back to the old Detroit Pistons, they're 31, you can't call every foul. Nowadays, I believe that same theory but I believe the thought is, but we're going to call a lot of them. We're going to bend towards the aggressive team a little bit more, which is fine. Get that. Suns are a jump shooting team for the most part. They rank like second to last and FTAs, free throw attempts. We get that. But in a physical playoff game, in game three, when Scott Foster worked the last game, as a team, the Phoenix Suns shot 16 free throws. As an individual, Giannis shot 17. Let me say that one more time. The Suns team shot 16 free throws. Giannis by himself shot 17. That can't just be aggression. And the mere fact that I'm even saying Scott Foster is reffing, should we even know who the ref is? Should it even matter who the ref is? When you start to know, oh boy, here comes this guy, we might be in trouble. That's a bad sign. That is a horrific sign. No one should know who's reffing games. Big discrepancy in free throws. And we can't just pick that game with Scott Foster. Hell, the refs that followed that let Milwaukee be more physical. And I still don't understand that because they're more physical, but the Suns are getting more fouls. 19 free throw attempts, game four for the Suns. 29 free throw attempts for the Bucks. Usually the more physical team, even though you can't call every foul, gotta call some of them, don't you? And I'm not trying to sound like a homer and beg for foul calls. I just think the game should be ref both ways. And I think it's always a bad thing when there is a watch for the ref who's going to be calling the game. That's never good. That's never good. It shouldn't matter. No one, in all honesty, should know who the Zebras are. But there was a Scott Foster watch. I actually joked about this saying, the Suns better win it in five, or they better be up because they don't want to see Scott Foster with another game. And so here's my point, and this is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. In a decisive game five, and by decisive I mean the team that wins this is going to have more control. How do the Bucks, who were ultra-aggressive again, and the Suns, who came out ultra-aggressive, how do the Suns only have 11 free throws and the Bucks only have 17? How's that possible? How is that possible? So all the grabbing and the pulling and all that stuff that happened in Milwaukee disappeared when they got to Phoenix. All of it just stopped. Everything just stopped. All the pulling, the tugging, the grabbing, everything just stops in Phoenix. And we're supposed to believe that? Only time there's pulling and grabbing are games in Milwaukee. And the only team that does it in Milwaukee are the Phoenix Suns. And I can't make this up. Game one, Milwaukee shot 16 free throws. Suns shot 26. Budenholzer complained about it. That was it. I have a severe issue with the way they ref Giannis. And I believe it will continue tonight. But I have a serious issue with the way those games are being ref. I'm tired of hearing he's a hard person to ref. I'm honestly tired of hearing it. He's an easy person to ref. Check this out. If you dip your shoulder into the player, it is either A, charge, B, a no call, or C, if they're still moving, right, they're still moving, it's a foul on them. But if they're not moving and you lower your shoulder, that's a charge. If you want to say no call, then fine, no call. But it's a charge. And if you look at the discrepancy, ever since game one, when the Bucks complained and complained and complained, the free throw attempts have switched. So the Bucks that do all the grabbing and the pulling are committing no fouls. So then you look up and you see Scott Foster. And I will tell you how Scott Foster has already put an impact on this game before the ball has even been thrown in the air. There's not a fan in Phoenix that doesn't know he's in the game. There's not a fan in Phoenix that doesn't know the record Chris Paul has when he ref games. There's not a fan in Phoenix that doesn't know that your psyche can play a part of the way you play the game. So if I know this guy has never repped a playoff game that I won, you don't think that resonates in the back of my mind somewhere? Somewhere? Again, these are humans. They're not robots. And that's going to play with you. Chris Paul is a professional. He's not going to say it bothers him. But you know it does. When after a game, he says, look at the record. Look at the record. That tells you everything you need to know. So before he even comes out to play the game, he can tell us what he wants, but we know in the back of his mind, he's thinking, O-S-H-I-T. Here goes this dude again. And for that reason, I think the series is over. I think the Bucks celebrate, and they get the trophy. I think they're going to play well. I'm not putting asterisks by this. They will be the champs. They'll win. It's up to the players to make shots, miss shots, and to execute. But I do think Scott Foster has rented space in Chris Paul's head, the Suns' head, and the city of Phoenix's head. Anytime there are tweets letting you know the night before that Scott Foster has been seen about Milwaukee, that space is rented. When I come back, I'm going to tell you why the Suns win this game. Didn't I just explain that they were going to lose? Forget all that. I'm about to contradict myself. And I'm going to do it right here on the Cave Show with BLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today live, 1 o'clock, ready to roll. So I do appreciate it very much. If you missed the show at any point in time, all you got to do is do the same thing you went to today to find us. A lot easier than giving a whole station breakdown. Just go to the Cave Show. Cave is with a K. Excuse me. Go to the Sports Cave. Cave is with a K. Hit that listen live button. It's anytime outside of 1 and 2. It will route you to all of our shows. Pick one you like, you want to hear again. Pick one that maybe you missed. I don't know why you missed it. Check it out for the first time. Also, download our app on Spotify and iHeartRadio. That way you can be notified when new shows pop up there. Just go to The Cave Show on iHeartRadio and Spotify. The Cave Show is brought to you by thesportscave.com. Now I'm going to tell you why the Suns are going to win. Yes, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to contradict myself. Because that's what I do. The best argument is an argument you have with yourself. So the Milwaukee Bucks have an advantage the Suns don't have. No, it's not Giannis. No, it's not home court. No, it's not any of those things. It's heartbreak. The Bucks have had their hearts snatched out. They were supposed to go to the finals 2 years ago. They didn't. They were supposed to go to the finals last year and win. They didn't. And now this year, they're a game away. So they have that heartbreak. Tough. We saw this. The Sixers had to get through the Celtics back in the 80s. They did. They finally broke through. The Pistons had to get through the Celtics. They finally broke through. The Bulls had to get through the Pistons. They did. They finally broke through. Spurs had to get past the Lakers. They did. They broke through. And it goes on and on as teams have to usually have some heartbreak. Before the Warriors won their title, they had two good seasons. They couldn't get over the hump. Just couldn't do it. But they retooled and they got better. And that's the advantage Milwaukee has. They have some stuff they can go back and lean on when times were tough, when they were down 0-2, when they had to go on the road and win the game 5, they could lean on past experiences. Suns can't lean on that.
Not really. I mean, we just have our group. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, compare and contrast what LeBron did in the finals in whatever year, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we have a group that's us, and that's how we keep it. So we're trying to figure it out right now how we're going to go out there and do it. And we know it's possible with, you know, the group that we have and what we've leaned on for most of the season.
They don't have it either. They don't have it there. They're from the season. Hell, they even have it. That was Devin Booker. They even have it from the bubble.
I mean, we know what's at stake, and that was kind of the same thing in the bubble. We knew that we had to win 8 games just to get an opportunity. So we just went in and just found a way every game. Just had to be able to find a way, and tonight that's what we got to do, find a way, be able to play through the ups and downs. Obviously, they're at home, and just find a way to fight the adversity tonight and stay poised and just do what we're supposed to do. And we'll be able to get a chance to go back home and get one in the valley.
That's campaign on that situation. So, again, there's nothing to lean on. Life experiences teaches us things. Oh, well, it should. That's why you should be smarter at your age than you were at a younger age. That's why 16 is smarter than a 12-year-old. A 16-year-old male is smarter than a 12-year-old male. Not by much, but they're smarter. 21, you're smarter than 16. Not by much, but you're smarter. 25 is smarter than a 21-year-old. And it should be. Because by 25, you're out on your own. Paying your own rent, mortgage, your own car payment, hell, your own cell phone bill. So your level of maturity steps up. Why do you think they give you an insurance discount at 25? Because they say, we know men between the age of 16 and 25 are the dumbest people on earth. They're not always thinking with their head on their shoulders. Everyone knows that. Yes, there are a lot that do, but a majority of them don't. So 25 is usually when that real maturation part starts. And then at 30, 35, lights are on everywhere. But the lights are on, and you know what to do. At 30, you know not to go drinking on a night before work and get so drunk you can't make it. It's irresponsible. If you can't get up and go to work the next day and be productive, it's irresponsible. And usually, you don't see grown-ups doing that. Because they already know from being 21, 22, 23 what the results are. So it's learned experience. And the Suns, in terms of playoff learned experience, don't have it. But they do have something. They did go 8-0 in the bubble. They were just a smidgen away from making the playoffs. They did have something to play for. They did have a lot of energy. Look, the Suns in the bubble could have went one of two ways. They could have went down there and said, look, we have to win all these games to have a shot. There's no way that happens. Whatever, let's mail this in. Or let's go balls to the wall. Let's go for it. So let's win eight and make them have pressure to win one more game to keep us out. That's what this team has in its corner. Because this team believes in each other. This team knows that if it played the brand of basketball that they play, they can beat anybody on any given night. They know what's at stake. They know the culture that's there. They know what they have inside to force a game seven. It starts at the top. Monty Williams talks about the Suns' culture and what it means to them and why he feels good.
I think
their situation.
Our culture allows for that. You know, from day one, when we got there, we said we weren't going to allow wins or losses to dictate the culture and the spirit of our gym. Now, when you lose in the playoffs, there's a natural tendency to allow it to dip a little bit because we're all human. But I think we have a level of bounce back on our team in the organization that allows for us to get the spirit back. And I saw it yesterday when we got on the plane. The guys had the same look in their eyes. When I came down this morning for meetings, guys were down there talking, having breakfast. It was pretty cool to watch. And so those kinds of losses are hard. But if you're going to, you know, do anything big, you have to overcome those kinds of hards. I don't know of any team that's won a championship that's just kind of strolled into it. you know, and so our guys, we've talked about that, the deep playoff hurts that happen and the ability to bounce back from that.
He's 100% right. Monty has preached all year, everything you want is on the other side of hard. You can change. It's hard. If it was easy to win NBA title, every team would have one or two. It's not easy. There's a bunch of teams. There's 32 teams in the National Basketball Association. 32. Are there 32 champions? Are there? Every team in the NBA won a title. Excuse me, there's 30 teams in the NBA. So I want to do this. It's going to seem boring, but it's not. Let's go through this. 30 teams in the NBA. Teams that have never won a title. The Brooklyn Nets. And some teams, let me get this out. You may not know they won a title, but they did. The Atlanta Hawks won an NBA title. They were just the St. Louis Hawks. The Washington Wizards won a title. They were just the Washington Bullets. Pacers, the Hornets, Cavaliers, excuse me, take that back. The Magic, they've never won titles. The Jazz, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Kings have won a title. They were the Rochester Royals, the Timberwolves, and the Thunder. That's 11. It's almost half the league. They've never won a title. Never. It's not easy. It's always hard. The things you want in life to achieve, it's hard. Doctors go to medical school. Medical school is hard. Not everyone gets in. Law school is hard. Not everyone gets in. You want to be a nuclear physicist. It's hard. Not everybody can do it. But the Suns, I believe, have the right mentality to face this type.
Those obvious breakdowns, but that's every game. The second quarter, there were a few vanilla possessions on offense that put us in a bind. But I also saw a lot of resilience and a no-quit attitude even in those moments, you know, for us to be able to cut it to 1 point. You know, that was the thing that stuck out to me and gives our staff and team a lot of confidence as we go into this game six.
And that's what they need. And he knows the issues. He was asked by Dwayne Rankin, Milwaukee's killing you. Fast breaks. Is that you as a team, the Suns? Is it them, the Bucks? What is
both.
It?
Both. Okay. It's certainly a point of focus as we go forward, for sure. Last year we were number one in that. This year, with the focus on trying to get more possessions from an offensive rebounding component, that probably lends itself to some of that. But when we watched the film, a lot of it was just communication. We were back, didn't communicate well. They forced the issue, and I think in the first half they got like five threes off of that environment. So some of us, but a lot of them.
This goes back to what I said the other day. You have to make up your mind what you're going to do. You have to keep Milwaukee off the boards. To keep Milwaukee off the boards, you got to send your guards down to help rebound. When you do that, you're not going to fast break. You can't run off of a miss because your guards are down helping rebound. So you got to decide what you want to do. If you leak out and then get an offensive rebound, an extra possession, an extra opportunity to score. If you don't leak out and you secure the ball, now you're playing against more than just that defense because you had to come down and help rebound and you couldn't leak out. So you got to decide what you want to do. You got to decide. Monty talk more about?
We don't have that level of experience, but we have experience nonetheless. And, you know, we don't have guys who've been in these situations, but we have guys who have played on big stages before, and they understand, you know, probably more than people think, because in college it was one game and you're out. You know, Mikhail's been in that situation at Villanova. And so I think the combination of that and the grit and the want to win serves us well. It's not the best situation, and we all know that, but we're in the finals. You know, this is not the beginning of the season where you lose three or four in a row. We're in the finals. We got here for a reason, and our guys can glean confidence from that.
He said they can still glean confidence. There's two things that I think people don't know about the Suns. Suns haven't lost three games in a row since January, and they haven't lost four games in a row all year. So, yeah, I'm looking at these things I can hang my hat on as a sign of confidence that they can win this game and prove my first argument wrong. But there are things they have to do. They've got to battle with the Bucks on the glass. They cannot get clutched and rebounding. They cannot let size be the factor or the reason why they're getting out-rebounded. They've got to crash the boards. They've got to get 50-50 balls. I don't care how ugly Giannis's free throw is, they got to rebound the ball. They have to. Campaign addresses. They've got to get to 50-50 balls. But he believes they are ready to play.
Obviously, our back's against the wall. And we know those 50-50 balls, offensive rebounds, are big to the game tonight. So we are locked in on all aspects. And we know we have to crash and we have to get on the floor because we got to make these all these winning plays in order to win on the road. And I feel like we've been doing that all season. So this is a big opportunity for all our guys on the biggest stage. And I just know we're ready to play.
I love campaign. He hit us with all the analogies. Backs against the wall. Got to make winning plays. Got to get the rebounds. He hit us with all of them. The only thing he didn't hit us with is that's what this is all about. You get that after. If the Suns win or Milwaukee wins, I don't really care who wins. There's someone that's going to take that stage, step up to that podium, and they're going to say, this is for you. Bucks fans, this is for you. Suns fans, the best fans in the NBA. And then everyone in the stadium, yeah, woo, that's one. That's the big one. But this is for you, champ. There are no fans like this right here in Phoenix, right here in Milwaukee. Yeah. Yay. The other one, that this is all it's about. Yeah, this ring is great. This trophy is great. We put in the work. We came here. We worked hard every day. We had our obstacles, but we fought through, and we won this. And this is what it's all about. Hard work, this is what it's all about. The bring it home, this is what it's all about. The only thing that can rival, this is what it's all about, is, oh, that's why we play this game. Absolutely love it. One more segment, 30 seconds away. Game show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. Breaking down the Suns and why I think they're going to win. That contradicted my earlier argument on why I think they're going to lose. I like the winning argument better. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave, Caves with a K, on the Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook. Again, Caves with a K. SportsCave.com. Again, Caves with a K. And you get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Make sure you're downloading our app, The Cave Show, brought to you by The Sports Cave, on Spotify and on iHeartRadio. Click the notification button so you can know when we have a new show up and ready to go. You all know it's Tuesday. You know how we get down on Tuesday. Belongs to one person. Late great, Phyllis Hyman. Island marinating, full cook. All right, let's jump back right into this. The Phoenix Suns will win tonight because I believe they're a better team still. And I'm not delusional. Listen, Suns jumped out to an incredible lead in game one. Coughed it all up. Fought all the way back. Just couldn't get back over the hump. Game before, led the entire game, basically. So they gave it up. They had one stinker, but they've been in charge every other game. So why should tonight be any different? With the only difference being they figure out how to win this game. I think that's the difference. Look, they were frustrated after the last game. There's no doubt about it. They're tired of answering the same questions. Hey, Book, you scored 40 twice. Why are you losing? Hey, Chris Paul had three bad games in a row. He seemed to right the ship, but still. Hey, DeAndre Ayton got boards, but he seemed to. Hey, who else is going to step? They seem frustrated and tired of that. But through all that, their heads are still right where it should be.
It says a lot about this group. You know, like I said, obviously we are frustrated after the loss. But we're a type team that realize, you know, that that's over. You know, whatever we do forward is going to determine whatever our future is going to be. You know, so we're going to go out here today. You know, we haven't watched film as a team yet together on the game. You know, so I think that's step one for us in preparing and coming up with the scheme to go out there tomorrow.
Agree with him. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. That's a hard game to lose. It is. But they got to do it. If you want it, it's where? On the other side of what? It's a tight-knit group. It really, truly is.
Oh, it keeps the energy right. You know, there's no second guess on what coach says. You know, he has the best interest, and you know he's right. You know, so we listen to him. He's somebody that we've leaned on through this whole season for our locker room, for how we perform on the court, for what he just mentioned, how we, you know, get together as a group very, very often. So we have a tight knit group.
And that's another reason they're going to get through this. I do. Listen, there's this misnomer that the Suns won the first game, they're going to sweep. They won a second game, they're going to sweep. Suns in four. Sold a bunch of t-shirts. Suns lost game three, you know where he's Suns in five. Suns lost game four, Suns in six. Suns lost game five, now Suns in seven. Look, let's get off all that. What are the Suns doing? What are the Suns doing wrong? What are the Suns doing wrong? What are the Bucks doing right? This was booked before.
To be completely honest, you know, I think the whole playoff experience, you know, helped it tone it down a bit, because I feel like we've seen a lot of situations and different coverages, and, you know, we've been through it all through the regular season and stressing the details of the game. So, you know, I think we're prepared for this moment. You know, obviously Milwaukee is no slouch, and they make it tough on us, and they're always going to make it tough on us. But, you know, we've seen a lot as a team.
Milwaukee's tough on us. They're always going to make it tough on us. Suns had no delusions going into the series. Fans had the delusions. Not the Suns. The Suns are in to be on. But the Suns know what they have to do. They're in this moment now.
I've never really been here before. You know, so I'm just treating it as a series, treating it as, you know, I've seen game sixes happen in the past. There's been game sevens that happened in the past. So just us as a team, you know, I just heard Chris say it, just figuring out, you know, a way to win our next game. You know, that's our mindset coming into here. That's been our mindset, you know, since we obviously frustrated after the loss, but wake up the next day. Now it's, you know, that loss is behind us. What can we do next?
Exactly. They're not going to replay it. They're not going to disqualify the game and say, well, let's do it again. You know, that's not the way it works. They're not going to say, oh, well, Suns really should have won that game. Let's pretend it didn't happen, and let's do it again. That's not how it works. But Booker knows what this team needs to do. Everyone has to do just
be better, you know, as a whole collective group. You know, we all know, like I said earlier, what's at stake and what's on the line. So, you know, everybody's going to have to give a little bit more, because what we've done hasn't been enough.
Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Got to do a little more. Got to give a little more. If you give 90%, you got to get 91. If you give 100, you got to give 101. If you got 8 rebounds, you need 9. If you score 10 points, you need 11. If you had 3 assists, you need 4. Everyone has to give just a little bit more. Everyone. Everyone's got to give just a little bit more. And if they do that, they should be okay. Like I said, they had one blowout game. That was the anomaly of the series. That was the anomaly. Every other game has been close. And in a close game, everyone has to give just a little bit more. That's what the Bucks did. Bucks found a way to give just a little bit more. A little bit more. Suns got to do the same. One more box out. One more loose ball. One more dive on the floor. One more 50-50 ball. One more block shot. One more rotation. One more deflection. Those are all the things that the Suns need to win this game. All right, a couple other things to get into. I'll give my prediction right now. Don't want to, because I'm really wanting the Suns to win. I'm really wanting a game seven. My concern is the psyche of the team, especially with Scott Foster reffing this game. Can't lie to you. I told you why they wouldn't win. I told you why they would win. But if you're a betting man, that line is 5, over under 222. If I'm a betting man, I'm betting under and taking a 5. McGillicuddy. In other news going around, a couple things I definitely want to touch on. Cam Akers, running back for the Rams, ruptured his Achilles. He will be out for the season. That's big. Because people said, Matt Stafford is in L.A. Hand him the ring. He's got his running game. He's got the receivers. He's got a great defense. And on the way to the stage to get the trophy, the running back got hurt. This is why football is different. This is why you can never plug and play in football. Because a funny thing happened along the way. That's all it takes. You can't to this day convince me that if that alien in Kansas City had healthy linemen, he wasn't going to hoist the trophy again. And I think if he has healthy linemen this year, he'll hoist the trophy. But health, healthy, makes a difference. Makes all the difference in the world. And now the topic I've been very reluctant to talk about or even really bring up, it's everywhere. It's Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing. I think there's a misnomer about Aaron Rodgers and what this is about. This is now a messy divorce. It's been a messy divorce, and now it's really a messy divorce. And you really have to do, all you got to do is really stop and think for a second. And you know this is everything that a divorce is. It really, truly is. Aaron has told them, I don't want to be with you anymore. I don't like you. I love our kids. Those are his teammates. I love our neighborhood. Those are the fans. I like the family. But I don't like you. I don't want to be with you. And you're trying to make me stay with you. And I know that you've already cheated on me, drafted another quarterback. And you didn't even give me the heads up. I had to find out from someone else. So you cheated on me, but you didn't tell me. Hear from the grapevine. And now you want to pretend like you still love me and you want to keep me. And you keep making it public that it's my fault. No, not my fault. You're the one that cheated on me with that draft pick. And no, you can't buy me an expensive car. No, you can't give me an expensive credit card. No, you can't buy me the biggest house on the block. Green Bay offered him to be the most highly paid person in NFL history. I don't want any of that. You know what I want? I want my freedom. And Green Bay won't give it to him. Let me go. That's what Aaron is saying. So until you let me go, I'm going to make it hard on you. I'm not going to make it easy for you to get on with your life because you're not letting me get on with mine. And I'll be a distraction. I'll call you at work, talking to the press. I won't show up in time for anything. I won't be a training camp. Divorces don't happen in a vacuum. If you get divorced after 10 years, been getting divorced for the last five. If you get divorced after 20 years, you've been getting divorced for the last 10. They don't happen in a vacuum. Obviously, abuse and infidelity play, that's different. But they don't happen in a vacuum. And you can't change someone's mind once they're done with you. When they're through with you, they're through. And Green Bay had an opportunity. They had a window right around the draft, and they blew it. They blew it. Now they're both up against the wall. No one likes to give up money, but Aaron Rodgers isn't a poor man. No one wants to be the GM that trades Aaron Rodgers, but do you want to be the GM that lets him retire on and you get absolutely nothing back? It's like a soap opera. The good part is there's more, and tune in tomorrow to hear more. The days of Aaron Rodgers. Make sure you're checking us out right here every day, 1 o'clock live. This is the Cave Show with PLR. Make sure you're following us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cave is with the K, the sportscave.com. Cave is with the K, and get me at PLR on sports on the Twitter. When I come back tomorrow, I will either be talking game seven or I will be talking about how the Milwaukee Bucks are the NBA champs. It's one or the other. Programming note, next week I am on vacation. So we will fill this week up. Without a doubt, and I can't wait. I feel like I'm on Olympic hiatus, although I'm not going to Japan. Either way, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for joining. Be safe. That COVID devil isn't dead. Take care of yourself. One and all, this has been the Cave Show. PLR, make sure if you miss us here, you get us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, download the app. Cave Show, brought to you by the Sports Cave. It's the Cave Show with PLR Tips. Bring us all.